Hi, my name is Kathy Lou Peace. I'm a relatively new transplant to Bethel. Having thought that I left the heroin epidemic in Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky area, where I was helping to start the heroin impact response team, I come to Bethel to, once again, heroin is haunting us. And I was wondering if anyone has done any kind of planning about Narcan being made available, especially to our villages, into the village clinics, all of the YK village clinics having the Narcan. Is anyone familiar with that?
Well, I know, and the Bethel PD and the troopers are going to have to answer for this particular area, but I know in the lower 48s that a lot of the police departments are starting to carry Narcan.
Yeah, I was involved in training police departments and fire departments and even personnel in the school systems to have using the gel, but I hadn't heard anything going on in this area, and I was just curious to know if there were plans for that.
Sure. I can add to that. So the pharmacy does have that medication available. Our initial plan is that any family member, friend, who thinks that they have someone who may be at risk for overdose, they can go to any provider and request. It's going to be prescription only at this point, which does cause a little bit of issue, but until it is fully rolled out, in Anchorage, you can actually go up to a pharmacy and get it essentially over the counter for that use. But that's absolutely what we want to have available, is that any family member or friend would be able to administer this. We can do education with it. The formulation that we currently have, there are different types. One is a nasal spray that's very easy for anyone who doesn't know how to administer any medications. It's just a nasal spray. So definitely something that will save lives if someone who's in the home as a family member or friend of someone who's at risk of overdose has that medication available and can immediately administer that, that would save lives.
Are there like statutes or laws regarding whether or not a particular formulary has to be prescription? Or it can be in different municipalities over the counter?
It can be. So our initial formulary setup is kind of on the, just within the past few months, the decision on this. So it's kind of a slow rollout at this point. Maybe Dr. Roll may know a little bit more about the future plan of it, but at this point it's prescription only, and then will be dispensed from the pharmacy.
We also have it in the villages, right?
Correct, yeah.
We have Narcan in all the villages now, and I think we're moving it to be the nasal as well.
Yeah.
Correct. Thank you.
That is correct. It is.
Yeah, we currently have Narcan in all of the village clinics at this point. Right now it's the injectable version, right, but we are actually moving to move the nasal Narcan to all of the village clinics so they will have it. And again, at this point, again, we're, you know, we're a publicly funded organization, so we don't give out at this point any free over-the-counter medications, but that may be something in the future that we take a look at depending on what's going on and what our board of directors directs us to do. But at this time, again, as Mike has pointed out, anyone who is interested in getting Narcan to have at home for a family member simply needs to ask. And I think at this point you could even go to the pharmacy and they can call somebody and we can write a prescription. It doesn't have to be a long, prolonged, get an appointment, which as we all know is sometimes like gold or at YKHC,
right,
and move from there. I wanted to comment just really briefly. Again, I'm Dr. Roll, and I am a member along with many other providers, members of our pain committee, the YKHC Controlled Substance Agreement or pain committee. We are working hard at YKHC to work on decreasing the amount of narcotics we give to our patients, and we're following national guidelines to do that. We're really working on not giving people hundreds of Percocet or hundreds of hydrocodone or lots and lots of tramadol. We are encouraging people to seek behavioral health help. We have our impact counselors who work directly out of outpatient clinic. We also have a full behavioral health staff to help assist people with some of the issues with addiction. We also have physical therapy available. We currently have an impact, actually, support and depression group that is meeting on Tuesday nights in our main conference room. We encourage people to do meditation, to do exercise. There's lots of ways we can all deal with our chronic pain. We don't always have to take narcotics. So I know we get a lot of complaints at YKHC that we are withholding medication from people to help them suffer and be in worse pain. But again, this is one of the reasons we are so strict, so we do not develop additional people into heroin or narcotic addicts.
Before we take the next question, this is Andrea Haddon. I'm just going to politely excuse myself and Mr. Ritzman and Investigator Evan. We apologize for having to leave Bethel tonight, but understand that the reason we're doing day trips is so we can get to as many communities in Alaska this month. We really appreciate you being here, and please continue the conversation with these local experts. Thank you so much.
And I would like to continue it as well. And we are going to continue it. Sorry if I start losing my voice. I have a fever, but felt this was too important to miss.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. My name is Fritz Charles. I mainly had a question for the FBI and those other guys. The drug sniffing dogs that we had back in 2005 and 2006, I believe, apparently it was here for less than a year and didn't work out, had some complications. There's only a couple of freight outfits out here. I believe there's three, if not four. You know, everybody in this room, just probably about 50% of everybody knows a dealer here in Bethel or in the surrounding villages. Especially in the surrounding villages, everybody knows who deals drugs, alcohol, everything. They know who they are. But are we going to turn in our own uncle, or we have to get past that? And if, you know, yeah, use me as a witness, but nowadays, people are pulling, threatening with guns, life-threatening issues on that. How do we go past that? Since there's, you know, there might be a witness protection program out here, I don't know. How can we get past being a witness to turn somebody else in for the crimes that they're doing? I know a couple of people that are dealers out here, but that's a different story, is it? We need to start doing something. We need to start putting our foot down and take back control of our community. It's for our younger generation. Thank you.
And my answer to that is that there's a lot more of us than there is those handful of dealers. To just not be scared, we need to come together as a community, and we'd be able to fight this together and not be as scared. Anyone could call me if they are that scared and need some sort of help. I'll do everything I can to help you.
I have a question. This is Helen again. Could you Title 47 someone when they're under influence and you know they're going to use it as a family member or a citizen, could you Title 47 want someone? And the other suggestion I'd like to see is Goodwood College has, in 1999, I graduated through the, what do you know about alcohol and drugs through the correspondence school. I'd like to see one coming through our UAA here in Bethel.
Go ahead,
Anna.
So, Ms. Sorensen, we can only Title 47 people, that's protective custody, if the person is unable to care for themselves, okay? I do know that there is AA programs here in Bethel, and we can get you pamphlets for that if you'd like.
Daniel?
Yeah, my name is Danielle Craven. I'm a Bethel resident. I've grown up here. I've seen the addiction. I remember a vivid memory in high school and in art class in 2000, and a young man grade below me, and he pulled out a tin can. He said, "Hey, do you want to try these pills?" I said, "Whoa, what are those?" And it was a concoction of different medications that he had put together. And I thought, wow, it was the first time I had seen someone trying to sell pills in school. We had seen weed very young. My first time trying marijuana was in eighth grade, and alcohol was also eighth grade. It's evident that it's a problem. I guess my question here is, it was also for law enforcement as well, but the relationship between PD, WANT, and all of us involved in our different agencies. There's a law that, you know, it is against the law to sell, obviously, right? It is against the law to sell opiate. It's a felony to bootleg, in a sense, or to drug deal in our villages and our communities. I've made reports to our law enforcement. I've made reports to WANT, and I am a good neighbor in that I talk to my neighbors, and I talk to the people who I know are affected, and I ask them if they need help. And I think a tough thing that I ran into in trying to be proactive was, you make a report and it's believed to be an anonymous report to WANT, but you give your name. And it's, there was no way that that drug dealer should have known my name, but he did. And so when I spoke to him, he confronted me, and he did say to me, he said, why are you calling WANT on me? And I froze for a minute thinking, wait, you're not supposed to know that. But I thought, I said, because what you're doing is wrong. What you're doing is wrong, and you're hurting people, and you should not be dealing heroin and drugs and the other things that are going on. We had a great conversation, but that, I don't know if that's the way law is supposed to work. I don't know if that's the way the justice system is supposed to work. And raising our family here and amongst many of you who have lived in this community, we're tight-knit, and in the village it's tight-knit too. But there is a certain reliance of trust that we entrust upon our law enforcement and for protection. And I care about these people who we've grown up with. And yes, they need help. But there's also a number of drug dealers who are also not users. They're non-users. There's a certain number who are users and a certain number who are non-users. And we know where it's going, where it's coming through our river, where in the wintertime, where these traffics are, you know, the drug trafficking, where it's happening. So my question is, how does the communication work between the PD, between WANT, between us as residents, to know that when we report that it is something that we want to be used and something that we want to be active in helping them, but what, I mean, there is privacy, I'm sure, but what's that communication line? You know, do we still call PD when WANT's machine comes on at 2 a.m. when we notice that there's unusual traffic in a certain area? Do we still call at 4:30 p.m. on a Saturday afternoon or Sunday afternoon when we notice all the addicts coming over to buy? You know, what's that? What I guess, do we just keep calling? And I had been told previously before starting to call back PD now that at first it wasn't, we don't take those, you call want. And so I start to call want. And then from calling want, then I just, you know, we'd get the answering machine sometimes, but I then started to call PD. So I just want to just clarify those communication lines because it's a big job, and I thank you for the job that you're doing. Because it's a lot of work, and we want to help you, and I want to help you, and I want to help make that system work to help. So that's my question. What's that relationship?
Could you introduce yourself, Andre?
Hi, my name is Andre Sham, the Chief of Police for the City of Bethel. That is a great question. Yes, continue calling us. Continue calling us because it does several things. When Jerry was talking about maintaining a track record via either anonymous or you want to report yourself, every information on any drug or alcohol trafficking in Bethel, we share with other law enforcement, which is a WANT unit. I worked WANT unit decades ago. That information is also shared statewide and is also shared nationally. Yes, please continue to call. Regardless, and the police department, you know, we have an advantage of being in Bethel, is we're a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week operation. The WANT unit, the true investigator assigned, there are only two investigators for the whole Delta and Bethel. You will get an answering machine. Your question regarding being anonymous, there are certain things we have to follow according to law regarding anonymity. If somebody wants to be anonymous and never wants their name used, never give your name then. The problem is a person calls the police department and says, "Hi, I'm John Doe and I want to remain anonymous." As soon as you say your name, we cannot keep it anonymous. We could initially put anonymous on a report, but once someone is charged or someone makes a Freedom of Information request, we can't hide that information. That has to go out. So if you want to remain anonymous, don't say your name. Two is try to find an anonymous number to call, like there's a tip line, because when you call the police department, we are a 911 center. We have a phone number and address, things like that. If your number is blocked, that's fine. The number's not going to be listed. But as soon as you say your name, it's recorded. So you can't be anonymous that way. A couple other suggestions I think Fritz brought up. I want to address that. When you talked about, you know, people want to help. Is there a way for protection? Things like that. Unless certain things have changed, there is a way that you could partially be anonymous. And what I'm saying by partially is initially, if you know someone's a drug dealer, you're witnessing the acts. You're witnessing multiple acts. Make a phone call to the WANT unit. They could actually assign you a number. What Jerry was talking about is for confidential informants or citizens that are credible sources of information. If they don't know who you are, you could have 10 calls. It could be another drug dealer competing, trying to eliminate the competition. It could be maybe someone trying to get someone in trouble. But if you are a credible source of information, they'll assign you, and the state will go over that if someone wants to call. They'll assign you a confidential number. So they say, this is this person, this number here. This number has given 10, 20 really good information that led to seizures, that led to arrests. Eventually, when it does go to court, you're not going to be anonymous because that information, any defendant has a right, because we are in America, to be face their accuser. So that will eventually come up. But you're partially anonymous unto that point. So that information is great, but people's got to realize, talk about tough love. A lot of times your own family members or relatives. You have to have that tough love. Unfortunately, the job of law enforcement, we are given multiple different roles, from the enforcement side to the counselor side to the referee side sometimes. It's hard to juggle all those jobs. When it comes to drugs and stuff like that, we know there are drugs in here. We know there's heroin. Well, there's a lot more drugs out here. Unfortunately, we are reactive. The way we deal with it is because of the thefts involved, because of the assaults involved, because of people trying to get money and stealing to get there. And when we talk to the family of that, tough love, press charges. And that's something you go to a judge or district attorney after you press charges, say, hey, hold this over my loved one. If they don't get help, they don't get treatment, maybe jail is their viable option. But you need to practice tough love. The problem we get is we have felony cases where the victim says, you know, I would love to press charge. I don't want my friends to go to jail, so I want to drop the whole case. So it's a continued, you know, people hear about the continued circle of violence, domestic violence. It's the same thing for drug abuse. It continues unless you want to practice that tough love. You know, I hope that answers some of the questions. One of the other questions was about Title 47. Title 47 is Alaska statute. It has a whole bunch of factors in it. There's two factors the police department and law enforcement generally deal with in Title 47. One is protective custody, which is primarily dealing with intoxicated individuals that are intoxicated by alcohol. The other aspect I think you might have been asking was about a person that's mentally or psychologically impaired that's going to hurt themselves. A lot of times the aspect of being a drug dependent or drug abuse and hooked on it doesn't fall under that avenue, that aspect of Title 47. Because those avenues are people that want to purposely harm themselves or kill themselves because they're psychologically, there's some issues there that they, that's an involuntary commitment. And a police officer can only do that for up to 72 hours. When we have those people, we'll take them to the hospital. If they're intoxicated by alcohol, yet they wait for behavioral health for them to be sober, and behavioral health evaluates them, and then behavioral health carries the football from that point. But when, if you have any issues, any complaints, call the police department. That way, all that stuff is recorded, and we routinely share information. The WANT unit, you know, we're 24-hour operation. They come by because we have run two different shifts. They come by 10, 11 o'clock at night. If we're stumped on something, because drug investigation is a specialty. You know, our patrol officers are out there every day dealing with a variety of crime. They may not know certain aspects. We'll call the WANT unit up, and they're Johnny on the spot. They'll come out there. They'll give us a hand. You know, the other aspect is there's a lot of drugs out there. You know, from the impairment aspect of even a DUI. The easiest way, a DUI is driving under the influence. The easiest way we do that is based on alcohol. But now with drugs out there, it's harder to prove someone, if you don't smell alcohol, to prove they're on some type of substance abuse or substance, be it heroin, opiates, even marijuana, that impairs their driving. It's a difficult job, but we're trying to do it every day. But please continue to call. If you have information, we share that information routinely with the WANT unit. And if something that's active going on now, tell the dispatcher, the person on the other end of the phone, it's happening right now, and we'll send officers there. Sometimes people, after they call the police department, are looking out the window. Where's the police officers? Where's the police officers? It's also based on priority-type calls. Unfortunately, sometimes I have only one officer on duty. I try to keep at least two officers. And it's no fault of the communities. It's just hard to hire officers in Bush, Alaska. And we're trying to maintain a high enough standard that we hire the best officers for this community. You know, so just bear with us. When we get a call like that, we'll try to get to that as fast as we can, but it's priority based. I hope that answers some of your questions. Thank you.